Jimmy and Gretna, Greg in Mississippi, and all the rest of our calls will be right to you. Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer, giving us some time. Appreciate it. And, man, what happened to all these SEC teams in the opening round, my man?
Well, especially, Mark, you got to think Arkansas and Vanderbilt. Like, what? What happened?
Yeah, that was a huge surprise. I mean, they've been so good all year, especially Arkansas. For me,
that
was the one I thought they would slug their way through, but – but, you know, yesterday, Hagen Smith just didn't have it. His all-SEC pitcher, he's going to be one of the top picks in the draft in next year's draft. He'll be one of the guys that we're talking about, you know, like Cruz and Skeens at the top of next year's draft. But he just – it was bad. And then Arkansas, all year, they have struggled with pitching depth. They're one of those teams that if they would have somehow got through the regional, if they didn't draw a team like TCU or they pitched better, you know, this weekend – and they get to a super and they don't have to use, but, you know, 3-4 guys, they beat you. And then they get to Omaha with all the off days. And I really thought that that was the, if they could get through this weekend, you know, they'd be in really good shape, and they just couldn't do it. As for Vandy, you know, it's almost a negative to win the SEC tournament right now. You know, the longer you play, maybe there's a little bit of fatigue. I don't know what it was, but they just didn't play well. And, you know, they've had some pitching injuries that set them back, but that really wasn't why they lost. They didn't score enough runs. And that's a team that doesn't have the one or two guys that really, you know, stand out. It's more of a team effort. And for all of those guys to struggle at the same time was really strange to me. And those were the two biggest surprises so far.
Now, Mark, speaking of injuries, and, you know, you can it could be, you know, you're on a roller coaster, and it could be cyclical, so to speak. You look at what South Carolina was able to achieve, where they're at, and then maybe kind of under the radar considering the expectations they had last year and then the slow start this year, but where Tennessee's at. I mean, I know that 14-inning game against Clemson – to me, that was the best game so far in the postseason when you look at college baseball. I don't even like Tennessee or Clemson. But if you couldn't be entertained, like, whoa, look what just happened. You thought Tennessee's going to win, Clemson, and Tennessee wins. But just talk about all of that and then where South Carolina's at and Tennessee going forward.
Yeah, for South Carolina, I think the thing for them is mid-season, they were one of the best teams in the country. I mean, they might have been the best. I mean, they really handled LSU. LSU was lucky to get one game, had that huge comeback, if you remember,
right?
To get that split. So we thought at that point, hey, this is a team that's going to be, you know, top two or three all year. And they had some injuries, and then they had some guys kind of slump, and they came back to the pack, and they were, you know, they struggled down the stretch. And as you know, a lot of us felt like they cost themselves a host site, but they didn't. And boy, they got those hitters back this week. They're getting some of their pitchers back, and I mean, they're looking like a team that's going to be a tough out. And then you know, you mentioned Tennessee, very talented team. They've struggled on the road this year, so they had to go to a tough environment. Clemson, you mentioned the 14-inning game that was just a classic. Those teams just slugged back and forth for what, 4 hours or more. I mean, it was quite the scene. And no one's ever doubted their talent. It's just, you know, can they put it together? And they were able to do it. And they're going to be, I really like their chances to make it to Omaha now. And they're going to have a great shot to do some damage once they get there.
Wondering, Mark, real quick, does Tennessee have to travel to Southern Miss now, or is it vice versa?
Yeah, they're going to announce that in the morning at 9:00.
Okay.
They're really close. If you look at the, you know, like the S curve traditionally, like you're picking who's going to host by resume. I mean, Tennessee's obviously finished really strong, and I think what they did at Clemson might be the, you know, the deciding factor there. They beat a really good team that had won 17 games in a row. I think that might matter. But Southern Miss, you know, they hosted last year the regionals and supers and did a great job with both. They would be certainly a quality host.
They beat LSU. And, we remember that.
Sure yeah, sure did. And you know, maybe if they draw somebody besides Ole Miss who was just playing out of their minds, they might have been in Omaha last year.
Now, Mark, well, what is your take? Because I think at times they've underachieved and they're kind of old school. When you look at the Texas Longhorns and obviously the Aggies, Texas A&M going out west, you know, Stanford and all that. So I'm not surprised that they have a chance. But what's your take on that, where that's going?
Yeah, Texas is a team that they pitch pretty well. They just hadn't scored enough runs all year. And they've, you know, it's a new season when you get to the postseason. And they were able to win that regional at Miami. And they're another team that's kind of waiting to see where they're going to play next week, because they're waiting on tonight's game. You know, Stanford and Texas A&M. Texas A&M pitched so well in Hoover last week. They really hadn't pitched at all. That the same guys have struggled a little bit this week, but they've hit enough, and that's been able to carry them. So we'll see what happens tonight. They're going to throw Nathan Detmer, who's been their Friday starter for the bulk of the year, but hasn't pitched well down the stretch, and they haven't even thrown him yet. So it'll be interesting to see what he can give them tonight against a Stanford team that can really hit. I mean, they're an offensive club. Both teams are kind of down in their pitching, but I think you'll see. But, you know, each team throw four or five guys tonight.
Right.
If Stanford wins, then they would host Texas. But if Texas A&M wins, then we've got a wait-and-see deal, just like we did with Tennessee and Southern Miss. We'll find out tomorrow who would host a Texas A&M Super Regional that would be off the charts.
It'd be like, there might be some fighting in the parking lots. I don't know, the tailgating or something going about. But, Mark, when you look at it, because when you get hot at the right time, you might say, well, who's the better team? But, listen, when you peak it and you get hot at the right time, you look at the Ole Miss Rebels. And obviously you look when Fresno State was able to win the championship, Coastal Carolina. Who could maybe be that dark horse right now going forward to be like a Coastal Carolina or Fresno, even what Ole Miss did last year? What team is it, like a Southern Miss type team or what?
It's TCU.
TCU,
I think it is, yeah. They're 17-2 since May 1st. They played a whole bunch of freshmen, and they took their lumps with them early in the year. And you know how freshmen are. They're, after a certain point, they're not freshmen anymore. They've grown up and they have enough experience, and they're playing like regular upperclassmen. And that's a team that's going to be a handful. They're going to draw Indiana State. And it's kind of a funny, or not a funny, but an ironic deal there. They were supposed to travel to Indiana State, but because of some scheduling conflicts, Indiana State's hosting the Special Olympics on campus, and there's just not enough workers and hotels and all of that stuff. So TCU is going to host. So they're going to flip that venue, and a team that Indiana State that earned a host is actually going to hit the road, just because of, I guess, bad luck, bad scheduling.
Well, Mark, I'm old enough to remember. The only thing I know about, and he's from French Lick, Indiana State, is Larry Bird. I mean, you know, when you talk about, like, okay, it's not the Indiana Hoosiers. It's Indiana State. So I don't know. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it Larry Bird or what? I don't know. No matter what the sport,
I mean, it's got to be right.
Right.
Speaking from French Lick. Right.
Yeah.
Speaking now of Indiana, obviously that game going on with Kentucky right now. The Wildcats are up 4-2 here in the eighth inning, man on first. Should there be a team the LSU Tiger fans would want to face out of these two, even though it looks like Kentucky is kind of in control here right now?
I'd probably want, if I had to pick, I'd probably pick Indiana just because I don't think they're as talented as Kentucky.
Right.
And they might not be. I mean, Kentucky's not going to be as
intimidated. They're not going to be like, SEC. Yeah, we play in the SEC. We can hang with LSU.
Right.
Yeah.
And they came down there earlier this year, so they've seen it. Their eyes won't be saucers when they get there. I would probably pick Indiana if I had to choose. But LSU's so good. I mean, it's you got Paul Skeens pitching game one. I like LSU's chances to get one of the other two.
You know, Mark, we were thinking, I said, man, I can remember recently LSU playing Indiana. You know, when the teams from up north want to come down south in the back end of February to be able to get a game in. And this is crazy. Charlie Long and I, our producer, and our board, we were looking at this, is that LSU played Indiana right before COVID hit. In 2020, Charlie, isn't that correct?
Yeah, February of 2020, LSU won that game 8-1.
8-1. So LSU beating that. Now, I know it's a different team and all that, but it's like I know we played Indiana, that being LSU, before, and it was right before COVID, and LSU won 8-1. I agree with you that I think not that Indiana would be intimidated, but Kentucky's like saying we're an SEC team just like LSU. So I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I agree. And Kentucky's a club all year that's been more composed, and you know they don't get rattled. It's kind of one of those clubs that maximizes their potential. They're not as talented as some of the other SEC. They've got talent, but they're not as talented as a Florida or an LSU. But they've maximized it. Look at all the games they won. They're hosting a regional. They'll be a tough out.
Now, Mark. Speaking of like tough out. Boy, I thought, whoa, you look at Vanderbilt, what happened to Vanderbilt, what happened to Arkansas. Boy, you got to give a lot of credit to Florida coming out of the loser's bracket to be able to extend their postseason play.
It is. It's tough to win all those games in a row. It sure is. And they found some things. I mean, they threw a freshman yesterday. I think it was his third start of the year and his first one since March. And he gave them, seven innings? I mean, and they were good innings, right? And when you get that surprise hero that steps in, then that set them up for today. So they had a lot of their guys that they could bring back. And that was the key. That one game really was a turning point for that regional. That's such a talented team. They pitched so well. And boy, those bats, Wyatt Langford and Jack Caglione in the middle of that order. I mean, that's as good a duo as you're going to find outside of Baton Rouge. It's one, LSU and Florida haven't played this year.
Right.
I would not be surprised if down the road that happens. I mean, wouldn't that be something?
Talking with Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com's SEC writer. And on Friday, Mark, we got a lot of hateful fans calling in when, the decision was made for Jay Johnson was going to pitch Paul Skeens against Tulane instead of saving him. Turned out to be the wise decision in the end, obviously, with the weather delays that would have shortened Skeens' outing the next day and not even allowed him to pitch that nine-inning complete beautiful gem. Were you, though, taken back at all when that decision was made that it would be Skeens against the Green Wave and not game two?
Yeah, well, yes and no. I mean, I could see both sides. I think that the deciding factor was LSU did not want to get off to a bad start and have to use a whole bunch of pitchers to win that first game and then be shorthanded the rest of the way. So I felt like, or Jay felt like, that Skeens would give them maybe not a complete game, but he would give them a really go deep in it and give them a win, and maybe they could use some other pitchers besides their ace. It turns out they didn't need anybody. They were able to do it, and it did work out with the rain. There's no way you could have known that, but it certainly did work out, because wouldn't it be terrible with, you hold Skeens and then the rain comes and you waste him after, three innings or whatever it was. Yeah.
Now, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you look at all the regions and what transpired, you could say, well, the strength of a region and what came about. But more than any other region, Wake Forest, were they dominant or what? I mean, I'm looking like, we all talk about their pitching. I don't know. It seems like you look at a Wake Forest game, I don't know, it's 11-1 or something. They scored one run, and Wake Forest is able to dominate. I mean, I think it seems like they're as good as advertised. What's your take on that?
They sure look like it. I mean, they've been the best team in the country from certainly the second half of the year. Seeing as LSU kind of wobbled a little bit, Wake Forest just hopped right in there, and they've been the team to beat. The only thing is, the best team, the number one overall seed, and the dominant team the last three tournaments has lost in the Super Regionals.
Yep.
It was Tennessee, it was Arkansas, and before that, we had COVID, but before that year, it was UCLA. And they all lost to older teams who kind of figured it out at the end of the year. And who does Wake Forest play? Alabama, whose roster is, they're all juniors and seniors.
Alabama.
One freshman with 22 home runs. So, wouldn't that be something with all the mess that Alabama went through the last month? If they were to find their way and upset Goliath on their way to Omaha.
Well, upset Goliath, and all of a sudden, we all intrigued in these parts because Nicholls State University from Thibodaux, that they hanging with Bama. They took the lead three times, and Bama always answered. Then they have a walk-off, and then so we look at that. We hate Alabama no matter what sport they play. To be honest,
Nicholls pitcher Jacob Mayers, he was phenomenal, man. The freshman,
yes.
He looked incredible.
Hey, so name, image, and likeness. LSU got to pay him to go from Thibodaux to Baton Rouge. I mean, that's the day and age we live in. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, what's the odds of him being in Nicholls next year? I mean, right. he's going to have so many opportunities. And if there was any doubt, you know, when you go on that stage against a pretty good lineup and you pitch that way, that was all the evidence anyone's going to need.
Mark, going back to mid-April, you already kind of mentioned the Kentucky series in Baton Rouge at Alec Box Stadium. Mm-hmm. LSU taking 2 of 3, a run rule in the first game. They lose a tight one in the second, and then they win a tight one in the third. So these teams have already played each other. They had a really tight best-of-3 series overall. How much do you put into that? Do you put in, like, because Kentucky's already been to Alec Box Stadium this season. They've been and seen that atmosphere. I know it's going to be different for a super regional, but how much credit do you put into that?
Yeah, I think it matters a little bit. I mean, the teams will be very familiar with each other. Kentucky is throwing some different pitchers than they were at that point. Some of the guys are still pitching, but Austin Strickland's a guy who's really emerged for them. He's been a bullpen guy with really good stuff, and they've just continued to stretch him out. And he started a game, and my goodness, he's emerged as a real weapon. They have another guy, I guess named Travis Smith, who was a freshman. He was a midweek guy for most of the year, and towards the end, you know, as a freshman, like we talked about with TCU, just got better and better and better, and they just couldn't keep him out of the rotation. And he's been pitching on Fridays for them. So you'll see some different arms, if that's who you see, the first time around. With the position players, they're all the same. And they're older kids. They're mature, and it'll be a nice test for both clubs.
And then, Mark, we had actually been talking last week about how many SEC teams we had going to Omaha, right? But if you look at it now, you already kind of mentioned the disappointments with Vanderbilt and Arkansas, but the max amount of teams I think that can make it to the Super Regional rounds, I believe, is 6, if I'm not mistaken, with Kentucky and then Texas A&M later tonight. But then a couple of those teams are playing each other, Florida playing South Carolina, and then LSU potentially playing Kentucky. So how many teams do you realistically think now from the SEC are going to make it to Omaha?
Is it like 3 or what?
Yeah, it's more likely going to be 3 unless Alabama shocks Wake. I mean, that's what we're looking at. And Tennessee would have to beat, you know, Southern Miss. That would be the other one. And then you're going to be guaranteed to, if Kentucky holds on, you know, with LSU, Kentucky, and Florida, South Carolina. So, yeah, they're going to be paired together. And, you know, it's kind of funny how that works out, because you had 8 hosts and 10 teams in the field, and all 10 had legitimate chances to make it. Texas A&M still got a say in this. If they win tonight, they could beat Texas, and that would be another one that they would have a shot. But it's kind of unfortunate that you fight somebody in conference all year, and then you turn around and have to play them again because South Carolina swept Florida.
Now
in Columbia.
Now, Mark. You on top of D1 baseball. You look north, south, east, west. And I can understand the Midwest or in the Northeast when you're dealing with inclement weather. Why hasn't California, because the weather's nice, or you look at the Pac-12, has been more like the Deep South or the Southeastern Conference? You look at Stanford. I mean, why hasn't the Pac-12, when you look at players, because they have players out there, wherever you got people, they got players. But it seems like the Pac-12 hasn't been able to keep pace like with the SEC. Oh, well, so what's your take on that? Because you can't say it's too damn cold in California or West. Yeah. Explain that. Is it name, image, and likeness, all that stuff, or what?
Well, it's commitment to the sport. It's budgets. It's coaching. It's visibility. I mean, if you look at the rosters in the SEC, they're not just from the South anymore.
Right.
A lot of the players that used to go, they used to stay home in whatever area, and it's not just California. It's it's, you know, in Midwest and Northeast, they're trickling down, you know, to play in these great big stadiums in front of huge, exciting atmospheres and be able to, you know, coaches with a pedigree of putting guys in the pros. It's just different. The game has changed the last few years, and now with the transfer portal, with NIL, it's changing again. And with that, I think the scales are even tilting more to the haves. And right now, it's the SEC and a few other teams around the country and tilting away from pretty much everyone else.
Mark, definitely always thankful for your time. Appreciate it. You're going to be traveling for the Super Regionals. Any chance you come to Baton Rouge at all?
Yeah, there's a chance. We hadn't really worked all that out yet. But yeah, there's certainly a chance. Should be a fun atmosphere.
Well, hopefully we see you up there. We owe you a cold one.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Sounds good.
Appreciate you. Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer.